The same man, the same band, the same building. 48 years ago, country music singer Bobby Mackey opened the doors to his honky-tonk in Wilder, Kentucky. It was once a slaughterhouse located on the site. Then a roadhouse was constructed, had a series of names. Bobby bought it in 1978, and it was called the Brisbane. Bobby Mackey and his band, the Best Damn Band, take the stage every Friday and Saturday night when they're in town. That huge, gorgeous stage with the Grand Ole Opry feel and a dance floor second to none. Bobby himself is busy looking ahead as his brand new single just reached number 3 on the New Music Weekly charts, I'll Go Down Swinging, but we slowed him down for just a moment to look in the rearview mirror. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal. Bobby Mackey with me in the studio to share some stories, some memories, and some laughs about 40 years in the biz. Bobby, welcome. You never planned to own a nightclub, did you?
No, I didn't. Certainly not. But it's been a great 40 years, and it doesn't seem like that long, but it's been great, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's home, isn't it?
It's home. Otherwise, I'd be out there with a bus strapped around me, I guess. I don't know, or be back on the farm, maybe. I don't know.
But were you the first singer to step foot on stage, Bobby?
Yeah, and I know the first song that I sang.
What was it?
That night. I do it occasionally, and I always say that. I don't know what the second was or the 10,000th one was, but I know what the first one was. It was an old Mel Tillis song, I Ain't Never.
Did you pick that for a reason, or that was just the first song in the set?
Just an up-tempo swing thing, and I thought this is good for some energy, you know. But it's, I ain't never seen nobody like you. You know, it was a hit back then.
What was the makeup of the band then? How many pieces?
I had five pieces.
Any of those guys still with you today?
Ernie Vaughn, the bass player. He's the only one that's still there that started. But everybody else, Chuck Rich has been there 26 years or so and on steel guitar. And of course, he played on the Midwestern Hayride years ago.
I got to ask you, Bobby, about your costumes, because you always look dressed up and ready to work. Where do you get your clothes?
Anywhere.
My wife, I do not see those clothes at Target.
My wife is pretty good at picking out clothes.
Oh, you definitely know how to dress for the show. Well, congratulations on your brand new record, by the way. So just going to take a second to look back before we look forward. Can you tell me how you found the spot where Bobby Mackey's is right now?
Well, yeah, I was playing at, I played at the Boulevard in Tri-County and Julie's in Sharonville. Started at the Apple in 1970. I was playing at Julie's, and Norman and Gene Stamper lived over here on Licking Pike out from that club. About every weekend, they'd come over to Julie's, and I would sit and talk to them. We got to be friends, and they kept saying, you need to get over to Northern Kentucky. We need to get you over to Northern Kentucky. I said, well, you know, maybe. I live over there. I've always lived there and drove all the time to the clubs in the Tri-County area. Because the three clubs I played for a total of 8 years before I got the nightclub, they were all within 5-10 minutes of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it always worked. You know,
yep.
I learned a lot. I learned as much what not to do as what to do. So you know about that. So anyway, they kept talking to me about it. And one day Norman called me and said, hey, buddy, what are you doing? I said, well, nothing. He said, well, can you meet me down here in Wilder? He wanted to show me that club. He done got the key, found out who owned it and had the key. And I went and looked at it and just kind of got a hold of me. I could see, you know, I stood on the stage and I could see it all happening in my mind. That would have to happen before I could even think about it, but it just happened, and I wouldn't take no for an answer, I guess, and I still won't.
So it was dark when you bought it? Wasn't an up-and-running club?
No, it was closed, and we cut the stage off. It was an old gambling casino, and it had a stage that ran out where they had big Vegas-type shows. I didn't need that much of a stage, so we cut about half of it off and added the dance floor. The places were great. It's a throwback.
It's America's honky-tonk is what it is.
It's America's honky-tonk in Wilder, Kentucky. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Well, besides yourself and your band, you've booked a lot of other talent onto that stage. You want to drop any names for us?
Yeah, I could do that. It'll take a while, but we'll go right straight to the chase here. George Jones was the biggest thrill.
Wow.
Had George Jones and booked him within like 10 days' notice, or less than 2 weeks. One morning, my daughter was 13. Anita was 13, and she knocked on the bedroom door one morning and said, Daddy, George Jones is on the phone.
She knew who George Jones was, I guess, growing up in your house.
Certainly. And she's a big country fan still today. But she woke me up. I said, leave me alone. And she said, no, it's George Jones. So he had been in Florence, Alabama, and he'd been on some drugs. He had gone down. Cocaine.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and he'd gone down to about 100 pounds. And
they
had him in the hospital down there drying him out. And when he got out of there, he had to work. So we made a deal and I booked him within, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks, and it was January the 20th in 1980, and I'd been open a year and 4 months. That's when we'd been open, and I booked him. And you know, through the hustle and bustle, it was business, you see.
Yeah.
And I had to advertise it and had to, all these things to do to prepare for it. That kind of had my mind in a different place. But that night in the club, when he actually walked on the stage, I froze. I mean, chills went all over me. I just froze. It was real at that point. And of course, I grew up in Lewis County, Kentucky, up Concord. I'd hear him on the Grand Ole Opry. I listened every Saturday night. Hank Williams Sr. was my first inspiration when I was 4 years old. And then when I got into my teenage years, it was Buck Owens and George Jones. And then Merle Haggard came along later. But all those guys together were my big influences.
When George played, did he still have his voice, even with the years of abuse?
Oh, yeah. He's there. Great. It was He Stopped Loving Her Today had just come out about that time.
Oh. Did he bring a band or did your band back him?
He brought a band. But he come up in a Jeep pulling a trailer.
Wow. That's a great story. So not only did you get to book a legend, but you also got to help out a guy who was a little bit down on his luck.
Yeah. Yeah. He needed to work, and I had a club that I could book him real quick. See?
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, that's a legend. I bet you've booked some guys on their ways up as well.
Yeah, a lot of them. Lee Greenwood. We had him there right on his first record. The first person that I booked when first got the club was in the fall of 78, a couple of months after we opened. Booked John Conley was the first one, and he came in driving a station wagon, and my band backed him. But he just had rose-colored glasses and was just then on the new record, Lady Lay Down. So he was the first one we booked. We had several new people with it. Mm-hmm. The first hit, that's when you could afford them. You
know? Sure. So. Well, what a rush to see somebody at that level and that up close and intimate situation.
Yeah, but one other, Merle Haggard has been my all-time favorite singer, and we booked him. It was January the 10th in 82, the day of the Freezer Bowl, when it was 25 below zero. And of course, Haggard and his band from California, was it San Diego they were playing at the Freezer Bowl? They were California boys, and the show was going on during the Super Bowl, and they wanted to know what the score was at all times. And it was cold in there. Haggard sung with an overcoat on. You couldn't warm it up.
See his breath while he was singing a little bit?
couldn't warm it up.
We're visiting with Bobby Mackey, who's celebrating 40 years in the business. The actual celebration takes place at Bobby Mackey's World on September 7th and 8th. Think there'll be any bull riding going on that weekend?
There always is. We wore out about 5 bulls,
I guess. You really?
Yeah. Got the first bull in October of 79.
Was that the Urban Cowboy?
It was ahead of the Urban Cowboy about 10 months before the Urban Cowboy movie come out, or maybe a little longer. I was the first one to buy a bull from Gillies, Sherwood Crier, that ran the place. RJ and I went out there to check the bull. We'd heard about it, and they were making the movie, so he and I went out there. We didn't even stay all night. We flew into Houston. Sherwood Crier had... He was in the Urban Cowboy movie, mm-hmm. Sherwood was. He had somebody, he told us he'd have somebody at the airport with a Gillies t-shirt on, so at the baggage check. So we found the guy with the t-shirt. He hauled us to Gillies. We spent the night there and watched these cowboys and cowgirls riding the bull. And before the night was over.
You were a bull owner.
I bought a bull. And couldn't believe it. I had to see it to decide because, you know, Kentucky's Kentucky, and I just didn't know. You know, out in Texas, the rodeos are real big. Not many rodeos around Kentucky. So I didn't know if they would take to it like the folks in Texas, but they did.
Yeah, they did, and they still do.
They did, and they still do.
You ride the bull, Bobby?
No. No thanks.
Same answer here. but it's a lot of fun, and I'm sure that you've had to deal with a couple of people, maybe having one or two too many, and getting up there and thinking they were smarter than the bull.
It's all in fun.
And dancing. Dancing is a huge thing at the club as well.
Yes, it is.
Nothing like watching that dance floor fill up.
And, you know, we still do the traditional country as we always have. And a lot of the folks that grew up on my kind of music, they keep coming back. You know, I see the same people over and over, maybe not every weekend, maybe not every month, but I see them over and over.
And it's happy music, even when they're singing about heartbreak, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I try to mix it up a little bit. slow love songs and stuff.
Well, and lately you've been reflecting on the state of country music itself. Talk about your new record a little bit, Bobby. And
yeah.
Congratulations on number three.
Thank you. And, yeah. You know, you mentioned a while ago, it's number three this week. And you know, if it goes up any.
That's why we had to interview you now. We won't be able to get you in 2 weeks.
If it goes up any, there's only two more places it can go to go to number one. And the promotion people said it's got a good shot. Today is the day I'll get the report whether it has gone on up or not. But I'll accept the three because I got a new single ready to put out right on the heels of it. You know, the momentum is gone, so I don't want to lose any steam there. So I wrote this song called Drinking My Coffee Black. It's a little different for me. It's a little bit wild song, you know. My wife says it's the best thing I've ever done. Best song I've ever written, best song I've recorded. I have it ready to go. It'll be ready within 2 weeks to be released.
Is it on the new album? Or is
no, it's not on the album. I wrote this just for it to follow that up because it has done so well. And on the album, we didn't have anything that felt like it was radio friendly, although they're good songs. I love every song on the I'll Go Down Swinging album. But the song I'll Go Down Swinging that's number three was an old Porter Wagoner song. And it was out in the 60s. And I remember hearing him singing on the Grand Ole Opry many times. I listened every Saturday night to the Grand Ole Opry. And after the Grand Ole Opry would go off, I'd grab my guitar and go out back of the house. You know, grew up on a farm, you know, like the houses real scarce. Nobody next so close. I mainly remember full moons. You know, when the moon would be real big and full, I'd go out back and the moon would be my spotlight. And I'd sing songs I had just heard on the Grand Ole Opry. And that was one of them.
I guess we couldn't stop talking about the club without talking about the ghost stories.
Yeah.
It's the most haunted nightclub in America.
Yeah, that's something that I just can't get a handle on myself.
Did you know that when you bought the club?
No, I didn't. Real shortly thereafter, Carl Lawson lived right up the street. He was only 18, and he lived with his mom and dad, the closest house to the club. We're down there looking and planning and you know, to clean it up and to cut the stage off and all this stuff. And Carl comes in the door. Hi, I'm Carl. I just live up the street. And if you need any help. So we put him into work, painting and cleaning. And just a good kid, Carl was. And he started telling me these things. You know, he hung his head one day and said, oh, he said, you wouldn't believe some of the things that go on around here. When it finally sunk in, you know, I said, what are you talking about, Carl? I said, if you're talking about paranormal stuff, I don't want to hear it, and I don't want nobody else to hear it. I'm coming in here to make this a country music nightclub with dancing and music, and I don't want people afraid to come here before I even get the door open. So he never said anything about it. My late wife experienced things. I never did. I saw some things that are, you know, how your mind will play tricks with you. I just never paid any attention. I wouldn't connect with it if it was standing here in front of me. Anyway, as time went on, probably about 10 years in, Douglas Hensley had been writing horror stories, and he was writing these short novels and selling them. We became friends, and he was telling me about these books, the story he was writing, and he mentioned something about the story, and I said, gee whiz, Carl's got a better story than that's real. I just said that, and he went nuts. He, you know, I got to know about this, and he went and talked to Carl. Carl was running the bull that night, and he went and talked to Carl, and Carl told me he wasn't allowed to talk about it. And Doug would come back to me, worried me to death all night. He'd go to Carl and talk to him. He'd come back to me and talk to me. Tell Carl, talk to me, tell Carl. And he worried me to death. And I really didn't think he'd follow through with it. At the end of the night, they cornered me. And I said, well, Carl, go ahead and tell him if you want to. You've been trying to tell me for years. I don't care. At that point, you know, we were doing real good and I wasn't too worried about it. I really didn't think it would happen. But Doug just became obsessed with it. And he wrote the book.
And the legend has grown.
Hell's
now
deep.
You can go on a ghost tour at Bobby Mackey's
World. Yeah, you can
World.
Take a ghost tour, and I steer clear of all that. We've had Ghost Adventures has been there a couple times, two or three times. They did the story that really went international. It went all over the world. I've got lots of followers on Twitter from the UK and from Australia.
Oh, yeah. You know, the world keeps getting smaller and smaller. I know you're not a guy who likes to look back, so I appreciate you taking a few minutes and doing that and sharing some stories. And I'm going to guess there aren't any big plans to change much in the next 40 years.
I'll change a lot.
You'll be one of those ghosts.
Yeah. I'd like to have 10 more years.
But you're going to keep on doing what you do.
Yeah. I love it. There's no retirement. No retirement in my plans.
What do you think is the secret to your longevity, Bobby?
Consistency. Consistency. Country music.
Country music. It's the last pure, honest music, isn't it?
And all the great singers, all my idols about gone away. You know, there's just a few left.
Well, you're left and you're there every weekend. You can dance, you can ride the bull, you can have a beer and hang out with your friends. Plenty of free parking. Where's the club again, Bobby?
In Wilder, Kentucky, just right on the Newport and Wilder line, on the right at the very end of the AA highway before you go into Newport.
They say dance with the one who brung you, and Bobby Mackey plans to keep doing just that. He has owned and operated his club, complete with the mechanical bull, dancing, ghost tours, and most importantly, lots and lots of authentic country music. Roadhouse meets Haunted House on September 7th and 8th and every weekend. The forward-looking Mr. Bobby Mackey will celebrate his hit single and his follow-up single and look back just a little bit that weekend and every weekend. 40 years in the biz, Bobby, happy anniversary and congratulations again on the new record.
Thank you very much.
And best wishes with the follow-up, which is called again?
The new one is Drinking My Coffee Black, because that was Sunday morning, because Saturday night was really bad. Not like me, though. You know, I finally wrote something I didn't know anything about.
Congratulations, and here's to the next 40. For WVXU, I'm Elaine Deal.